Hey, what's up, you guys? I'm Andrea.
And I'm Haley.
And you're listening to Inhuman. Okay, so I'm going to say excited again because I am actually excited to share this story with you because it is like mind blowing.
Okay.
I heard this for the first time on, what was it? My Favorite Murder, like a year ago. And
oh, okay.
It has like stuck with me and impacted me since then. And I feel like it's a very like underrated story. Like, I feel like not a lot of people know about it. Maybe I'm wrong. But I didn't know about it before I heard it on their podcast.
I'm like trying to think of what it could be, but I have no clue.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I am covering the incredibly brave yet disturbing badass survival story of Mary fucking Vincent.
Wait, I don't think I know this.
You probably will once I tell it because it is okay. It's crazy. It is crazy. And
okay.
I know we gave a trigger warning at the beginning of the episode, but I'm just going to go ahead and give another one. There's lots of sexual assault, rape, extreme violence, and other triggering topics, but it's a okay. pretty fucked up story, but it's like, I don't want to say one of my favorite stories because that just sounds weird, but if you're a true crime person, right. Like, you know what I mean when I say that.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, so, I'm excited. All right.
Okay. So there's not a lot about her life growing up that I could find on the internet. Very little, which is fine. It's not really that important. But Mary Vincent was born on May 17th, 1963 in El Centro, California. She was one of seven children who lived with her parents, and they later relocated to Las Vegas, Nevada. Her mother was actually a blackjack dealer, and her father was a mechanic, and he had formerly been in the military. Mary loved to dance, and she actually danced competitively and was told by her dance instructors that one day she'd probably grow to be a professional dancer. That's how good and talented she was.
Oh, wow.
There's a gnat in here. Okay. She also loved art and tinkering around with little things. I assume because her dad was a mechanic, she probably like would help him sometimes.
Right.
So fast forward to Mary's teenage years. She was not super close with her parents, which I kind of feel like that's kind of normal when you're a teenager. Like, you know, you go through the teenage angst stage and everything.
Yeah.
Especially
like a teenage girl. Like, that's what happens.
Lots of emotions, like up and down.
Yeah.
She was a free spirit by nature and wanted to live life on her own terms. When Mary was a teenager, her parents actually decided to get a divorce, which seemed to impact her pretty heavily, which, I mean, I can understand that. That's hard for anybody at any age, but especially, like, you know, you're going through all the hormones and the confusion of being a teenager and just trying to figure out, like, who you are, you know, by yourself. And then now you have, like, your whole, like, foundation is being split.
Right.
So when she was 15 years old, she actually decided to run away from home. There are some reports that say that something happened between her and her dad, and she was like scared to be around him because he was upset with her. Oh. I don't know what that exactly entailed, you know, but she decided to run away, and she spent some time being homeless, living on the streets. I think at one point in time, she was like living in cars with her at that time boyfriend. So she kind of got sick of that lifestyle. And in 1978, she had enough, and she decided to hitchhike to California where her grandfather lived. Keep in mind, in the 70s, hitchhiking was very common. I mean, literally parents would drop their kids off at like an exit and be like, all right, I'll pick you up here in a couple of days. And they would hitchhike to, you know, concerts and to see friends or whatever the case was. So it was a very common thing that young people did in that time to get from one place to another. So there's lots of differing reports as to exactly what Mary did during her time in California. But what I deduced after all the articles that I read was that she kind of couch surfed with some friends. She lived on the streets for a little while, and then she did eventually end up living with her grandfather for some time. But, you know, normal teenager, she began to grow homesick. So she decided to hitchhike back home to Las Vegas. So on September 29th, 1978, Mary did just that. She was in a small group with some other hitchhikers, and back in this time, kids would literally just hold up signs on the side of the road with expectations of where they wanted to go, and motorists would oblige and take them to their destinations.
Wow.
After a few days of hitchhiking with no luck, a blue van finally stopped to give Mary a ride. The man behind the wheel was an older gentleman with a kind face and white hair. He actually reminded Mary of her grandfather, who she just had seen. He told the group of kids that he only had room for one and gestured toward Mary, who was actually the only female of the group. Ugh. Yeah. The other two people with Mary, who were both males, warned Mary that they didn't think it was a good idea, and it seemed suspicious that this man with this large van only had room for one person, and it just so happened to be the girl of the group. But Mary was very desperate to get home. She was exhausted from literally walking for days. And against her better judgment, she hopped into the van with the man. Yeah.
Oh,
I know. So being exhausted, Mary ended up dozing off after a while. And when she woke up, she noticed right away that they were headed in the wrong direction. So she told the man, "Look, I know you're going the wrong way, and you know it. Please turn around and take me back." So he turned around and immediately pulled over on a deserted part of the highway. And Mary knew right away in her gut that she was in danger.
Oh, no.
She looked down and noticed that her shoe was untied and thought to herself that she needed to tie her shoe in case she had to run from this man. So she quickly hopped out of the van, bent down to tie her shoe, and in a split second, the man bashed her over the head with a sledgehammer, knocking Mary out instantly. So keep in mind, she's 15. She's hundreds of miles away from home. She's just taken this ride with this seemingly harmless character. You know, he's like this overweight old man, white hair, you know, looks like, you know, somebody's grandfather.
Right.
So she was knocked out. So when she awoke, she was now naked and bound in the back of his van. He then repeatedly raped Mary over and over again all night. After a while, he finally fell asleep, but unfortunately, Mary was helpless because she was tied up. She actually cried and begged for God to just end her life because she felt so broken, which I can't imagine that feeling.
Yeah.
When he woke up again, he continued to assault Mary. Mary begged for him to let her go and to set her free. So he turns to Mary and says, quote, "You want to be set free? I'll set you free." This part's very triggering, so just get ready. He then drags Mary out of the van, and he pulls out a hatchet and begins to chop the bottom portion of Mary's left arm off.
Oh, my God.
She was very confused as to what was happening because she began to feel like she was falling and didn't understand because she had him, you know, by his arms. But then she soon realized that he had cut off her arm and she was in excruciating pain.
Jesus.
So she had fallen, but at that point he took her right arm and began to cut it off as well. But this time Mary was like, fuck that. I am fighting. I am screaming. I am kicking. I am not going to let this go down without a fight. But unfortunately, because of that, it took him a lot longer to remove her second arm, and he literally had to hack away her arms. And from what I can tell, he cut it like right below the elbow. And he later claimed that he didn't want her to be able to be identified, and that's why he did that.
Seriously?
Yeah. I was like, that is what you do? Like, no.
Yeah.
You're just a sick fuck. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she's laying there. She has blood all over her. She's in and out of consciousness. And she noticed that he was like flicking his arm. And it was at that moment she realized that one of her hands was still clinging to his arm, which is like, I guess what happens, like when your muscles, you know, they like stay contracted or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's just like so crazy. So he's literally sitting there trying to like shake her arm off of his arm.
Ew.
I know.
Wow.
So assuming that Mary was dead or dying, this piece of shit threw her off a 30-foot cliff in Del Porto Canyon. So that's where they were at the time.
Okay.
So Mary, broken and bleeding, laid there fearing for her life. She was cold and she kept trying to fall asleep, which I'm sure her body was going into shock at this point. And she was fading in and out of consciousness. But all of a sudden, Mary just got this like burst and just heard this voice in her head that said, "Do not fall asleep. You have to stop this monster from doing this to someone else." And she reached down into her very being and mustered up the energy to pull herself on her feet. And she literally packed mud and dirt into her wounds to stop the bleeding.
Wow.
Yeah. She then crawled up the 30-foot cliff with no arms, mind you, in the dark, naked and bleeding.
Oh my God.
She stated, I actually watched her I Survived episode. That's where I got a lot of my information from, and I will link all my sources in the show notes. But she stated in the I Survived episode that she heard like a faint noise of traffic. So she just kept following that. Because again, she's, you know, fading in and out of consciousness. She's trying to keep herself awake and trying to pull herself up this cliff with literally no freaking arms. And then finally,
what a smart girl.
I know, like she's 15. Like I wouldn't even know how to like climb up a 30-foot cliff with both my arms at 15, you know?
Right.
So crazy.
Like to think to pack dirt. I don't think I would have thought of that.
No. Oh, I can't imagine the pain she must have been in.
Oh my God. I know.
So she followed that noise until she was again on the road, and it actually took her the whole entire night to climb that cliff, but she finally made it and began walking in hopes of finding someone who would help her. So it was still dark out, but she could see like the sun was starting to rise in the distance. So Mary, nude, covered in dirt and blood, with two half missing arms, walked 3 miles. Before someone came and helped her. There was actually a car that was going to stop that had two guys in it. But as soon as they saw the condition that she was in, they immediately kept driving, which I have a lot of feelings about that, but I honestly don't know what I would do in that situation either. Cause like the way I envision it is like a scene from a horror movie, you know?
Right.
And your instinct is to like get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
But after walking 3 miles, a truck finally stopped, and inside was a newlywed couple who were actually on their way to their honeymoon, and they had gotten lost, which thank God, because they are the ones who actually stopped and helped her.
Aw.
I know. So they immediately wrapped Mary in a blanket, and they peeled down the road. In the I Survived episode, Mary said that she literally heard the tires screeching like the whole time because they were driving so fast.
Wow.
And they got to like the nearest payphone because, you know, again, it is the 70s. To call 911. So a rescue helicopter actually flew Mary to the nearest hospital. Mary had lost over half the blood in her body, and the blood that did remain in her body was basically sepsis. It was, you know, infected or whatever from all the dirt and whatever else that she had come in contact with during her crazy journey. it's reported that in the hospital, Mary told the doctors and nurses that she would not rest until she identified the monster that did this to her, because she knew that he would do it again. So,
wow, good for her.
She gave the artist such an impeccable description of the man who did this to her that within 10 days, a neighbor recognized his sketch on TV and immediately called the police and turned him in.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that's how fast it went down.
Yeah, wow.
Which is pretty good considering she, you know, was just found on the side of the road.
Right. Wow.
So, this piece of shit's name is Lawrence Singleton. He was a 50-year-old white man, and thank God he was promptly arrested. Without hesitation, Mary knew that she wanted to testify in court, despite being scared out of her freaking mind.
Yeah.
So Singleton was convicted of rape and attempted murder, but because of the laws in California at that time, do you want to guess how many years he was sentenced?
Was it like 15?
14 fucking years.
That's it?
14 fucking
Are
years.
Are you kidding me?
No. No, I'm not. I wish I was, but I am not. And as he was leaving the courtroom, he whispered to Mary, quote, "If it's the last thing I do, I will finish the job."
Oh my God. And you're still going to only keep him in jail for 14 years? Like, oh. Seriously?
He only ended up serving 8 due to being let out for good behavior.
Oh my God.
So you rape, you kidnap, seemingly kidnap, rape, right. Torture, maim this girl, and you get 8 fucking years? What?
That's not okay.
No. And it's really not okay because he went on to actually murder someone in 1997, a young woman named Roxanne Hayes, who was a sex worker and a mother. And literally that would not have happened if he was still in jail.
Right. Wow. That's wow.
And Mary actually flew down to Florida to testify in that trial as well.
Oh, wow.
Which is great because even though, like you were saying for your last case, how like things that happened didn't pertain to the case, it still was evidence. This is a perfect example of that because it didn't have anything to do with what happened to Mary, what happened to Roxanne, but because it was the same predator, it was very valid, in my opinion.
Good for them. Yeah.
And I'm sure Mary was not his first victim. And I do not doubt for a second that there were many victims between Mary and Roxanne. There was one good thing to come out of that, though, because they did pass a law. I think it was called Singleton Law, where violent sex offenders, I think, or violent crimes that could like lead to potential murder now will have to have a sentence of 25 years to life. So,
oh wow, okay.
At least like that's something good came from that.
That's what it should be.
So, back to when Singleton was released from prison for the attack on Mary, literally no county would allow him to live there. Like people were picketing in the streets, they were signing petitions.
Wow.
He even at one point tried to go back to Florida, which is where he was originally from. And the governor of Florida was like, no, thank you. Like, we will not accept him.
That's so funny.
I know. I was like, that's pretty fucking bad. Like, when you're such a monster that, like, people don't even want you living in their fucking cities and states. He had to have escorts and he had to wear a bulletproof vest when he was released. And he actually ended up living in a trailer on the grounds of the prison to, quote unquote, keep him safe, which like, fuck that guy. He does not deserve to be safe.
No.
So thankfully for the murder of Roxanne, he was sentenced to death, but later he died in prison from cancer. So, I mean, depending on how you look at it, I know I was going to say if he suffered, like the justice was served, but if he just got to die so easily, then, you know. Unfortunately, Mary said, like, she didn't really receive the closure that she thought she would when he died, but she was thankful that she had another chance at life, which I can't imagine that. Like, I mean, I guess you don't live in fear that they're, like, coming for you, like, around every corner. But But, you know, I don't know. Everyone has their different idea of justice. So back to Mary. She actually went on to become a beautiful artist. She would often depict women in her portraits who are like powerful and heroic, which I think is quite fitting because she herself is pretty fucking powerful and heroic. There was one source who said that she would actually like commission paintings for people. Like you could contact her and commission a painting for yourself.
Oh, wow.
She did like oil paintings and stuff. I don't know if she still does that. I couldn't really find any information. It was very hard to find information on this woman, but you'll see later why. She also, like I mentioned before, loved tinkering around with things, and she even helped design her own prosthetics.
Wow.
And she designed a set that was specific for bowling because she loved to bowl and she wanted to continue to be able to do that, which I think is amazing.
Aww.
I know. Yeah. She also became a victim's advocate for other women who had been victims of violent crimes. And she started an organization called the Mary Vincent Organization, or Foundation, excuse me, that raises money for victims of violent and traumatic crimes, which she specified helps like women and children mostly, being that she was, you know, a woman and essentially a child when she was attacked.
Oh, yeah.
I know we forget that because like she seemed like this, I don't know, this like grown woman, and like she was really only 15 years old.
Right.
She also got married. And I believe that she was married twice. I think she got married once in like 1988 and then once like in the 90s because she did have two sons. She wants to live a private and productive life out of the spotlight, which I can, you know, majorly respect. She is such a remarkable woman. She is a saint and she is such an inspiration. And she wants to be remembered not as a victim, but as a survivor.
That's incredible.
So I think that's why it was hard to like find information on her, because she like really does want to live a very private life. So there just wasn't a lot of information about her like now, aside from the foundation and that she's an artist. But yeah, short and sweet. That was the badass survival story of Mary fucking Vincent.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is like, I feel like I've heard it before, but I don't think I remembered any of the actual details of it. And like, holy shit, she is a strong ass woman.
I know. It's just that story. Like, there's a few stories like this that have like really stuck with me after hearing them. And this was like one of the main ones. And I was like, I know when we discussed about telling those kind of stories, I was like,
yeah,
I definitely have to cover her story.
Oh, I'm so glad you covered this one. That's like, that like makes me so hyped up. She's like so freaking strong, and that's amazing.
Yeah. And it's, you know, like we talked about before, like we like telling survival stories because it gives people hope that like their loved ones can survive, their loved ones can be found, their loved ones can, you know, have their justice and whatever it takes. Like, I mean, I can't imagine being that strong in that situation, but I mean, it's always a possibility that, you know, your body can do things that you wouldn't anticipate it doing. So
wow,
so
that's awesome.
I hope you guys like that. Like, I hope you guys enjoyed my story. And
I did.
Check out the My Favorite Murder episode on Mary Vincent, because they did a really good job covering it as well.
That's awesome. And I'm assuming you'll post photos on
yes,
our Instagram.
I will post.
I want to see this badass woman.
Yeah, there's a really cute picture of her. Like, I don't know, she looks like she's probably maybe like 18 or 20, and she just is like literally beaming from ear to ear. Like, she's just such a light, like despite what has happened to her, like she's just such a light and remains positive. And, you know, whereas other people might not be so positive if something like that happened to them. I mean, she's an artist with no hands. Like, that's insane. That's so amazing. So yeah, definitely follow us over on Instagram at inhuman_podcast. I will have lots of pictures, as much as I can find, of her.
Awesome. Also, guys, don't forget to subscribe so that you are notified. We're posting new episodes every Monday and Thursday, so that way you'll get notified when the new one goes up. And leave us a rating and review on iTunes if you enjoy our podcast.
Right. We really appreciate it. Even if it's, you know, not your favorite and you want to leave us like a 4.7, that's fine. We like it. We like it.
Anything, any feedback too, like, it helps us so much. So
It does. And it means a lot to us. So, yeah. Thanks so much for listening, guys.
See you next time. Bye.
Bye.